I'm suiting up.
Welcome to Doctor 3, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth in climbing the standard rank ladder. I'm your host, Daring Alkaline, and along with me are my fellow hosts, Nikolaius and Major Death. Let's just bounce right into it. This week we had a lot to talk about, so let's go over last week's poll question.
Yeah.
Mage, you want to start us off there?
Sure. Last week's poll question was, which wild card are you most excited about playing in Standard? We had 35 votes, a pretty good turnout. 57% of the respondents said N'Zoth the Corruptor, and judging by early ladder results, that kind of makes some sense. Ragnaros the Fire Lord at 20%. Actually, the write-in votes got 14% above Emperor Thorazon, which to me actually is a bit surprising. I was expecting more Emperor comments. Some of those write-in votes, SC2 said Evolve. We had Ben Hearthstone said Imp Gang Boss. Both good choices. Colin said Flame Waker. And then we also had votes for the Curator or Shaku the Collector. So some pretty interesting cards in the write-in category. Definitely some powerful cards. I hear Evolve's good. We might talk about that after a little bit. So lots of good responses. Thank you everybody for responding. We're gonna have a poll question again for next week, so let us know when you see that. We always want to hear what your thoughts are.
Okay, and we'll move on to news here. Follow up on last week's story, Blitzchung, Blizzard has kind of walked it back a little bit. About halfway, I would say, as they have lifted his suspension to only 6 months, and they paid him out the prize money that was owed from being in Grandmasters. So, I mean, they half-heartedly walked it back, in my opinion, where they're like, he still did something wrong, which is a very loose interpretation of what the rules they cited. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's probably something in there about cheating, but you know, we have people who've cheated going to Worlds, so anyways, that's kind of how I feel like that. Like, it's kind of like you're not really serious about it, and it's very blatantly obvious why you did this, because you didn't do it for any other reason than financial. So let's not put it in the guise of like, oh, well, he broke our code of conduct, whatever. It's like, yep, no, but you're only concerned about keeping China happy. So let's be straight and honest about that, and I might have a little bit more respect for your decisions.
Yeah, I'd like to just throw in my thoughts. I'm not opposed to a punishment, and I don't know if I made that super clear last week. But I'm fine if Blizzard doesn't want Grandmasters post-game interviews to be used for like a political. It sucks that we have to say that, you know, human rights is a political platform. but let's just, for simplicity's sake, let's just call that what it is. So if they don't want to use it for political or anything like that, then fine. I think the punishment, they're not kicking him out of Grandmasters. They didn't mention that in their response. It was like a comment afterwards. So he's just suspended from competing in any tournaments for the next 6 months, but he's still in Grandmasters.
Okay.
So I'm fine with this level of punishment. I think it's enough of a deterrent to stop other people from doing it while also not being as absolutely devastating as it was before. My problem comes from the apology, in the sense that there was no apology. In the sense of, when you read like the six or whatever paragraphs they say, they're quote-unquote apology is, we reacted too swiftly. That's the only thing that they say they did wrong, which I'm not, like, your problem wasn't just that you messed up or you reacted too quickly. I think that there was more to it, and I think that Blitzchung, first of all, deserved an apology. The employees that you have been, like, I'm sorry, like, it is not fair that your employees have been suffering abuse. It is not fair. But you should also be apologizing to your employees. And yeah, as well as to the community for, like, reacting too quickly, I guess, is whatever. So to me, there needed to be more than just saying, yeah, we reacted too quickly. I think there actually had to be, like, a real apology in there. And then that stupid throwaway line that nobody believes about it having nothing to do with China. Like, we know.
Yeah.
You put out a statement on your Chinese Weibo or whatever that basically goes, I don't have it, like, right in front of me, but it goes completely against this. It was like, we will always defend our country or whatever, and they were referring to China. Like, no, nobody's buying it. Why would it was probably a PR statement, but it was so, that part was also so infuriating because it was just a straight up lie.
Yeah, like I just said, it was like, I would have more respect for you if you're like, yeah, of course this is about China. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I don't think if he would have made a statement about the Ukraine, like a pro-Ukrainian statement, or if, like, when the Europeans made a pro-Ukrainian anti-Russian statement, I don't think anyone would have, like, before this, now they probably would just be like, oh, see, we did this to this guy too, you know, but before this wouldn't, no one would have batted an eye at that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The biggest thing to kind of dovetail into what you're saying, Nicolaus, is when it was released. It took till Friday after work hours on Friday evening.
It was about 5:30 p.m. Eastern time on Friday. Well,
Pacific time, actually. So it was after their work day on Friday. They didn't want a ton of coverage or a ton of follow-up questions or anything about this, because I mean, if you read what they said versus what was happening around it, it's like, oh, obviously this is a clear just trying to quell the boycott Blizzard sort of momentum that had been kicking up into an almost furious pace.
Also, it was I had Grandmasters up at just one point and on my lunch on Friday, and there were a lot of spamming boycott Blizzard in chats. So I was like, wow. I figured that, I mean, when you think about it, when you look at it average, there's like 26,000-27,000 people watching Grandmasters roughly. I don't know, but that's generally around the number I see, like between 15,000 and 25,000. And, like, so to have that coming up from a lot of different people and it being spammed in the chat is pretty indicative of how everyone was feeling. So
the only positive thing I can take from this is it is making people more aware of what's happening in Hong Kong and just in China in general, like the Uyghurs. Like, there's a lot of horrible stuff that's going on in China, and I'm glad that this kind of shone a light on it, and I hope it continues, not only just with Blizzard, but like putting pressure on other companies like Apple and the NBA to kind of, you know, take a stand. I doubt that it will, but if more people are aware of it and don't want to support that, then there will eventually be change. Like, it sounds really stupid that, like, you know, a one voice doesn't matter, but it does. Like, if there's enough people who are upset about it and are willing to make changes, then this is how things get done. So
yeah, for sure. I always think it, like, one of the, I don't remember where I've heard this quote from, but the quote is, it has to start somewhere, it has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now? So, I think that's a song lyric, and I can't remember the song, but oh, you know, it's Rage Against the Machine, Guerrilla Radio. It's one of the like whispered parts, but anyways, that's neither here nor there. That just that sentiment has always kind of stuck with me when I want to do something that isn't necessarily in line with like, oh, you know, you have to start somewhere, and one person raising their voice is better than no one saying anything or no one doing anything. And that's just where it has to start. So, I mean, I'm glad something has been brought to light to this situation. So
I listened to, I basically tried to find as many different opinions and takes on this as I could this last week. And it was interesting hearing all the different comments. I think universally, Blitzchung was definitely looked at in the best light of this, and rightfully so. I definitely don't think that anything bad should come on him, but it was amazing to me some of the other things that people got out of it. And where this goes from here, I'm a little concerned about BlizzCon in a couple weeks. If I'm going to be honest, it does sound like there's definitely people that want to protest, and some people, not that I have any problem with people protesting. I have concerns that some people, there could end up being an incident because of people protesting, because it feels like there's a heightened sense of, you know, just heightened senses, I guess.
Protesting is fine, but there is a line, and do not cross it.
Yeah.
Exactly, 100%.
And given the fact that some Blizzard employees and things were getting threats and stuff, I'm not so sure everyone knows where that line is, and that's why I'm concerned. And so,
yeah, if you want to show up to BlizzCon with like a free Hong Kong t-shirt, you know, by all means,
yeah.
If you're gonna start harassing the employees, just stay at home, because nobody wants that.
Right.
Exactly, for sure. That's not what you're there for. Go have a good time, and if you want to protest, stand outside the convention center with signs and protest peacefully, like normal. Like, that's what our country's based on, yeah, is peaceful protest.
You will be seen, message out there, and people will know you're there. And
oh, exactly, for sure. I'm sure there will be news coverage. Yes. So if you want to get that message across, if you're somehow listening to this and still want to boycott Blizzard, I don't know if that's the audience we're talking to right now, because I'm pretty sure we'd be more talking to the people going to BlizzCon, right, still. So anyway, so that's kind of,
I will say one other thing that we're not entirely sure about is what that means for people like Brian Kibler. That's admirable, that said they wanted to, that they were going to take a step back because of the initial ruling that was given. It'll be interesting to see. They're probably still not, we don't know if anything has changed for BlizzCon, but it'll be interesting to see going forward after BlizzCon if anything has changed, because I haven't seen anything from either of them yet as a result of the change, you know, the follow-up and the reduction of the suspension that was handed down.
For sure. All right, so let's move into something a little bit more lighthearted for Mage and I. I don't know how lighthearted it is for Tobias.
So this is Nick's Ladder Adventure Time. So it starts out like, okay, I think it was actually on Friday. I got home early and just started. I was at like rank one star. So I was like, let's see if I can get to Legend. play a few games, I'm going like 50-50 or whatever with Highlander Hunter. It's not really working. I switched to Evolve Shaman, or Quest Evolve Shaman, because Shaman is pretty strong. And I'm doing okay. And then I start losing. And I lose hard. I lose 12 of my next 13 games.
Oh, no.
I go all the way down to rank 3 1 star. And at this point, I'm like super freaking pissed off. And I do what I kind of said I do in my talking about Tilt episode. And I just kept jamming games. And this is where it turns around. I win 18 of my next 21 games.
Oh!
Including a 10-game win streak to Legend.
Oh.
Nice.
That deserves a clap.
So I went from being absolutely steamrolled in the high rolls of like never drawing desert hairs and getting like that desert hair Mogoog mutate evolve on turn 3 to me having those high rolls. Like I can laugh at it now, but I was so like just done. I was done with it. After.
I would be a shade of red in the cartoon steam coming out of the ears and all that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it was split up a little bit. I got back to rank 1 star, and then I took like an hour break, and I came back, and I just finished off the 5 in a row to get there. And I haven't touched Shaman since. I'm trying to find something that beats it, and I haven't... Well, I've lost pretty much every game since then. So. Oh.
I was gonna say that desert hair Mogu turn. I feel like I have to go take a shower after I take that, because that is just straight dirt right there.
It happened like, to me so many times in a row.
I can't believe how they thought this would be okay putting Evolve back in the game.
So
with desert
I just want to say like. I'm glad that they're doing these cool things besides just nerfing. Like, we've had buffs and now we've had old cards. But they always seem to miss on, like, one or two of them. And This is here for 2 months. And the entire Saviors of Uldum was, like, 2 months before. And that included a meta change, like, a nerf before this. So, like, this whole thing is going to last longer than, like, any previous meta like since the expansion, and that's kind of disappointing. Like I'm fine if they want to do like these crazy cool things, but like go all in on them and make it like a month, not like halfway in 2 months, please.
Yeah, I really feel like Evolve is a problem right now with things like desert hair. And we'll talk about the meta here in just a minute. Yeah. I just think that is just too.
Yeah, I'm done with my ladder adventure, so we can start talking.
I was gonna say we're head on into it. Yeah. The water's fine. Let's get through this.
So Shaman's stupid busted.
Yeah,
let's just get that out of there.
So there is one decision to make when you're playing this game right now, and it's do you put the question or not.
Because
both options are fine, but you're playing Shaman and you're playing Evolve.
Yep. I like it without the quest personally. I think it's a little bit more fun, and it has more game against Priest.
Really? I found it the opposite way. I like the quest.
I'm playing with the quest as well, so
I like having the quest with the extra like bursts with life drinkers and the wasps and stuff.
Gotcha. I like having the Thunderhead and the overloads. The what's her name? Vesa?
Obisa? Varisa? Something? I don't know.
Vesna, I think.
Okay.
Vesna. That we're good. I can see it in my head. I could see how it's spelled.
Yeah.
Or Vesina or whatever. However it's pronounced. I like that with the lightning bolts, just because I feel like they address the early board of the priest. And then if you're able to get those big tempo swings with Desert Hair and Evolve, then you can keep the priest out of the game and just go full ham before they even know what hit them.
I like evolving my desert hair into a Vecna, but that's me.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather evolve into Thunderheads personally.
Well, you know. To each his own. But the being able to use your quest completed hero power and then do the desert hair and get 4 extra rabbits instead of just the 2, and then do the evolve is pretty sweet. I have to say.
No, it's wonderful. I just like having the bloodlust already in my deck. Sure. So
yeah, that's fair.
But I played the quest version too, and I like it as well. So it's not like I have a huge preference between. I've just been playing more non-quest version. So let's see what else has changed. N'Zoth,
yes.
I underestimated N'Zoth quite a bit. Turns out Cartoot Defender coming back twice from playing him once. So you play one Cartoot Defender, that brings back 4 Cartoot Defenders. Like, so you get the first 2, and then you get an additional 4. So 6 minions for playing one card with N'Zoth. And you're playing more than one of them. You're definitely playing more. You're playing 2 of them. So just stop and think for a second about how many Cartoon Defenders that is. So that's 12. So that's 36 health.
So
you can heal back.
So you get the with the Reborns still intact when you for each of them when they get resummoned back.
Yeah,
correct.
Oh man,
because they're death rattle.
Right.
They're not just reborn. They're death rattle minions. Yeah, so every time you kill them, you add 1 death rattle minion to the
pool. Yeah, whenever you resurrect a minion that has reborn, it keeps that. It has that reborn text. Okay. So even though it dies without it, the second half dies without it. It's still what that card is, which originally has reborn. So.
Oh, that is that's nasty.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of N'Zoth, but obviously I haven't gotten to res a 6-pack of of defenders just yet.
Yeah, and then you have Sylvanas goes in the pool. Depends on what you're doing. Like the Warlock can play 3 N'Zoths pretty easily.
Yeah.
So with the card that discards your highest cost card and then death rattles adds 2 copies of it to your hand. The problem with that is that also goes in the death rattle pool and it's just a 2/1 that does nothing.
Yeah, Rogue probably has the best late game because they have not only the double shadow step but the copy of Togwayo's scheme. So after you shadow step your N'Zoth to 8 mana, you can play it on the same turn. But it doesn't have as many. It doesn't have any board clears as compared to the Warlock or the Priest. So it has a harder time getting to that late game.
Yeah, I was messing with it when the patch first launched, and I was adding seances to my deck because I was fighting a lot of Warlocks. So Resurrect Priest is back. So basically, Big Priest is back. More or less, I see people trying to jam it with the quest. I don't think the quest is all that.
I don't think you need it. I played a few games with that deck, and aside from a Mass Dispel, that's a pretty fun deck to be able to N'Zoth with.
Yeah, Priest is definitely fun. Plague of Death, Mass Resurrection. Katrina, so like there's a lot of fun little interactions that make it's definitely more challenging than Big Priest was, but Priest just having Light Bomb
is
fun.
when you're facing Highlander Hunter, that was the deck I was having problems with because of the our good friend Zephyrus and the things that he can do to ensure that you don't quite get to have the pool or the heals that you think you're gonna get from the defender.
Yeah. Also, there's the convincing infiltrator is also a really good death rattle to have in the pool. Psychopomp, if you psychopomp one of those back, that adds two more, you know, convincing infiltrators in the pool, which, I mean, they're not going to do a lot of bad damage. And there goes a cat taking down collector's editions of World of Warcraft.
It was a matter of time. I've been waiting for him, and I apologize. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm leaving this in.
The cat has joined the Boycott Blizzard movement.
So Priest is very interesting right now. But it's broken down to pretty much it's just gone back to combo Priest from what I've seen. That seems to be the thing that ultimately it breaks down to. It's just like, combo Priest is really stupid good, so we're going to keep playing that.
Yeah, Druid is good against a lot of things that don't run Hakkar and aren't named Shaman, basically. It's really hard for Druid right now to beat Shaman. Especially if they have that good opening. And then if they have... if one of the Nazoth decks is running Hakkar, which more of them are doing these days, then they don't...
I assume that's just because of the infinite Elise Baleful Banker thing.
That's definitely like part of it. And also to try and beat other Nazoth decks. Because the Priest deck is particular is the slowest. It doesn't have like any card draw compared to Rogue or Shaman or Warlock. So you are generally having the larger deck going into the later turns.
Exactly. Yeah. And so Polyrath Hakkar, Paladin. It always... it messes with Holy Wrath Paladin, especially now that Emperor Thurisian's back, you can do 50 damage in one turn.
Yeah, it's pretty much the only way you win that matchup. You have to draw either the Cloning Gallery or the Hakkar and have it die.
Yeah. And it's a great target to be brought back by Nazoth, as it is a 9-6.
Yeah.
So it still hits like a Mack truck.
I've been seeing some Flamewaker Mage. Actually, I've been watching Asmodai play quite a bit of it, and some of the ridiculous turns that you can set up. I was watching last night, and he called, "All right, turn 7, I'm going to go off." And he bit Flamewaker, Sorcerer's Apprentice, and then basically took an opponent down from like 25 with another 6 health on the board to basically 0 with, you know, no mana, just playing 0 cost spells. It was absolutely the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, if you can survive that long.
Yeah, it's the thing of it is you have to have the sorcerer. The win condition of his deck is literally the Flamewaker and the Sorcerer's Apprentice. And if you don't have that, or you play it too soon and you can't quite kill them, and they can kill your Sorcerer's Apprentice or your Flamewakers or both, then you're kind of left without really any way of getting it without somehow magically getting a decent mana cyclone turn to get you some burn.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You either have to win with the Flamewaker or pray that your mana cyclone gives you a pyroblast or something like that, because you just don't have anything out. You don't have any damage in the deck outside of the Flamewaker and like 2 Frostbolts or something.
Is that deck common? I've seen it a couple times with Archmage. Is that a common inclusion? Or
I don't think so.
That's just someone.
I think it just goes all in on the low cost spells and the Flamewakers.
I have never, I had at least twice a person on turn 5 dump their hand, immediately refill it, and then dump it again. And I'm basically at like 2 health. Yeah. And I'm like, your turn. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to concede now.
Yeah, I was one of the games that I was playing as the N'Zoth priest was I had a Caratut defender on board along with about 20 health, 20, 22 health, and on turn 6 my opponent went off and I ended up with like 6 health by the time that was done, and the opponent had a full board and there was just nothing I could do at that point. I thought, okay, I left a Sorcerer's Apprentice up. I will never, ever, ever, ever do it again. It was like, I could either play the Defender for 6, or I can use the 3-mana, or the 2-mana that does 3 damage.
Penance.
I could use Penance and then just basically Hero Power and pass. I thought, he didn't show me the Flame Waker, so I thought I had an opportunity to just kind of stall for one more turn, and nope, I was definitely wrong.
Never let the following live.
Yeah.
Sorcerer's Apprentice, Underbelly Angler. I'm trying to think of major targets.
I mean, Flame Waker.
Obviously Flame Waker, but I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, it just...
Crystal Merchant's a pretty important kill on site. Northshire Cleric. And those are your pretty big ones that must die immediately at all costs. Yeah. Pretty much, or watch the game snowball away.
I hadn't seen the deck very much at that point, and gotcha. I didn't want to. One of the things about playing a more controlling deck is I didn't want to overreact to threats, and somehow use my resources too quickly. But in that particular instance. That's one of the 2 pieces that is their win condition, and so you definitely kill it. So
I'd say almost any deck that's running the Sorcerer's Apprentice, it might as well have taunt and kill this turn. It's like, just don't let it do anything, because the moment it starts getting value, that's the moment the game starts slipping away. Mm-hmm. So. But, yeah, I understand. You're like, oh, he probably doesn't have anything else. And he might have top-decked something that made it even more ridiculous. Yeah. So
I'll take the L on that one. That one was earned.
No, yeah, for sure. It's shocking the first time you're like, oh, what's he going to do? How many spells are you really going to play? He dumped his hand. He played Elemental Evocation. Now he has a full hand again. And he's still casting spells. Like, oh my god.
Yeah.
So, and then, do we have any other revelations on it? I mean, Sylvanas is less impressive right now than I kind of thought.
I'm loving her, but like, yeah, she's, and especially in this meta where you're just like dead on turn 4, basically. It doesn't see as much play. A lot of the time you need to have like a Rotten Applebaum or Caratut Defender and just keep rising that in order to not die.
Yeah.
The Curator has seen exactly 0 play, which I'm not surprised about, because I didn't think it'd be great.
And Ragnaros is still good.
Surprise.
You can still just... Yeah, I was going to say, turns out doing 8 damage the turn it comes down.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Still an 8-8 for 8. Yeah, I will take that every day of the week if I want to go any later. So, and even not, like maybe sometimes we'll just throw in Ragnaros because he's that good. So, yeah, that wasn't a shocker to see Ragnaros anywhere.
I think I wasn't super high on it, but Imp Game Boss was a card that a lot of people thought would be pretty decent. Zoot just doesn't exist. Yeah. Straight up, it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
It was seeing some play before the new cards were released, and now it's nowhere to be seen. It's completely outclassed, so.
Yeah, it is. It's gone from as far as I can see. I barely see any Warlocks, so. Yeah,
disappointing, because that's a fun card, and Zoo Warlock is I think a pretty solid deck, and it's nice because it's usually a pretty inexpensive deck to play, so it's very kind of free to play friendly. But right now, it just Yeah, it's not seeing much. It's not seeing almost any play.
I will say,
you know, I'm shocked.
Oh, I will say, this is pretty good for the free-to-play players right now, because the Shaman deck is super cheap. It's basically, yes, it is. Like, especially the quest one, it's two legendaries, and I think everything else is commons or rares. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you don't even need to run Barista. You can cut that.
Yeah.
It's extra.
Yeah, you can fit in a lot of different stuff. The former champs, you can make it up. The barista's not necessary, so.
And the token version, the non-quest version of the Shaman deck is fine. You basically take out the quest. You've got some sea giants in there, probably. Those are, you know, epic.
Epics.
So you can get by if you don't have the 1600 dust to do the quest. There is potentially, I think there's a little bit more if you wanted the, you could do just do a regular Bloodlust as opposed to Vesena as well. So there's definitely ways you can get around it to get even cheaper if you needed to.
She feels a little awkward at times, so yeah, I would agree that you could probably do something else instead of Vesena. So I thought Bloodhoof Brave actually looks like it's a pretty cool inclusion to like a Tempo Warrior deck.
Yeah, Highlander Warrior is not awful. That's about the best I can say. Yeah. Like it has game, like, which is impressive in this kind of meta, right? Like, if it has a pretty decent early game, so it generally doesn't just collapse to the Shamans, and then it has some removal with like Warpath, Brawl, and Zephyrus, Restless Mummy, all the rush minions that it has. Bloodhoof Brave is just a pretty decent wall, and Varian Wrynn as well in that kind of deck as well. It is pretty minion heavy. Yeah. You can normally get like at least two minions to come out from there, which is also pretty good. So
Yeah, definitely.
The crazy thing is the Highlander Hunter deck that was good before these changes is still pretty good even after these changes. Which I think speaks to just how good the deck is. I mean, and all the options that you have there.
I saw in Grandmasters the people who were running it added Ragnaros, Sylvanas, and Call of the Wild.
Yeah, I mean, deck, you definitely can add things, but I'm just saying that, like, even that, like, I've seen a couple games and of Highlander Hunter, and I don't recall even actually seeing those cards. Now, obviously, it's a Highlander deck, so there's one of, so it's likely I just didn't see them. But I think it's still just a pretty strong deck, anyway. And just supplement it. It could be supplemented if you want to,
for sure.
Yeah, so I think what we're basically saying is there are a lot of decks out there that you can play. It's just you're gonna have a harder time if they're not Shaman, because like it does, none of these, all these decks are kind of like solid, right? But none of them have that high roll of like a turn four or turn three with coin, Desert Hair Mogu evolve. And that wins games. Straight up, it wins games on turn four or turn three. And pretty much no deck can deal with that right now. You know, a lot of the AoEs start turning online around turn five or turn six. And then you actually have to have it. So if, and you can't outrace the Shaman, right? Like, no one can match that kind of early game. So you just have to hope that they don't have it. And that's not a great way of playing.
that's not the way you want to try and win games on the ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you're telling me a good play around isn't crossing my fingers and closing my eyes?
I wish. So, yeah. Like, all these decks are decent, you know, you can definitely do well with them. I just have a hard time recommending any deck that isn't Shaman, personally, at least.
Yeah.
Seems reasonable.
There's other decks than Shaman right now.
This is Shaman Stone 2.0. I find that hard point. This is basically exactly. Mid-range Shaman from Karazhan, except worse.
Just give me back the Tunnel Trog and the Totem Golem, and let's do this. Let's get really just nothing but Shaman. Can you imagine that? Shaman, turn one, Tunnel Trog, turn two, Totem Golem, turn three, turn four, then Desert Heracoin or Evolve right there. Yeah. Like, I would assume you just Totem on turn three or play something else, but yeah. That's just insanity.
Thankfully, it's not that crazy.
Do you think something gets nerfed?
Oh god. Honestly, if they're keeping this for 2 months, they better. But I don't know, because these are wild cards. Like, maybe they change some of the cards. Like, so take out Evolve and put in a Tunnel Trog instead, you know, or a Totem Golem. I don't know.
It would be difficult to do. But I mean, they did end up nerfing the mage.
Yeah, but that was a buff. Like they buffed it
and then they reverted it. That is true. This is a card that existed. I'm just saying that it feels like I wouldn't be surprised if it happened, especially given the current state of the meta. I think they're gonna give it plenty of time. Like, I don't think it's happening during the Doom in the Tomb event that's currently going on, so through the end of October. But I could definitely see after BlizzCon or something, I could possibly see something happening. But then at that time, you're only talking about another 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks, and then it's out of standard again. So it does sort of feel like it should happen. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen before BlizzCon. But
yeah, I would hope so.
I don't know. I hope something happens, because I can't. I probably won't be playing straight up if this is how it is for 2 months. Because personally, this is miserable to play against. Like, I don't want to be down on the game, obviously. But now that I've hit Legend, I don't really want to be playing against more Shamans, because it's just so demoralizing sometimes. And I don't know if they would nerf it strictly for this event and then maybe revert the nerf when it goes back to wild. I have no idea, but I do think that something needs to be changed. We're only like three.
I agree.
How long are we in? We're not even a week into it, and people are already upset. So,
yeah.
Yep, for sure. All right, guys, let's head towards the end of the show here. So we're going to go and look at the contest wrap up here. We really only had one review in this time, so we're going to go ahead and give it to Ben Hearthstone, his 1 hour coaching session. And then we're going to come up with a Twitter contest. We'll figure something out in the next couple days. We'll put it out there and get auctioned off, or get a contest up there to raffle off the other 1 hour slot. So Ben's review is: great new podcast. Dr. 3 breaks down the news decks and has a weekly poll for community interaction. Daring Outline is a good host. Mage represents the everyman of Hearthstone, showing we can all play this game well. And Nikolai is the pro that is at the top 99.99% of Hearthstone players. A great mix. Keep up the fantastic work.
Thank you, Ben. Great review.
Yeah,
great
thank review. You. I like to hear it. So we'll go ahead and give him a 1 hour coaching session. We'll I'll get in touch with him on Twitter and we'll figure that out. So let's move into the poll question for this week.
Yeah, speaking of the poll question, so we talked during the meta discussion about this meta. What we want to know is: how happy are you with the new meta so far? This is great, this is good, this is not good, or this is bad. So look for that. It should be available as you're hearing this. Give us your feedback. I'd love to hear not just a vote, but if you want to reply and to give us more specifics as to why you think the way you do, definitely we will take a look at all those and we will talk about it next week.
Awesome. So that's going to wrap it up this week. You can find the show on Twitter at Dr3HS. You can email the show at Dr3HS@gmail.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Daring Alkaline. Nicolas?
You can find me at Twitter at Nicolas123.
And real quick, too, Dr3 Discord, top pinned tweet on our Twitter. So at Dr3HS, come join us, come hang out, have a good time. And Mage.
Yes. So I'm in the Discords and on Twitter at Mage of Death. And then Monday, Wednesday, Friday streaming at twitch.tv/MajorDeath. Also, if you're going to BlizzCon, I'm going to bring this up again Thursday, Halloween night, the 31st, 6:30 to 7:15 p.m. Second floor of the Anaheim Hilton. I am a part of the World of Podcasts Con Before the Storm Hearthstone panel. So with Jocelyn Moffat, Andrew Brown, Tech, Boticus from Coin Conceit, and then Wicked Good from Off Curve. We're going to be talking about what we think is going to happen with the new expansion and other stuff going on that we might hear about on Friday when BlizzCon starts.
Awesome. So thanks everyone for tuning in, and you've been listening to Dr. 3.
Boom.
Boom.
Boom. Boom.